Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, sometimes you just need a different take on today's sports news, and that's just what we're going to do.
Woo-hoo! I say, sports fans.
A fresh look at the headlines is here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
Getting what the ATL needs. A fresh weekend sports talk show.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's just get down to it.
Now, the Dopey Millennial Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I hope you are enjoying your day, just much like I have been up earlier until this point. Hopefully you're enjoying the sunshine. Like, seriously, it is that time of year where, despite, you know, maybe a day or two when just randomly it'll get super cold. Otherwise, the weather's been really, really nice. You can get outside, enjoy the day, maybe go hang out with the dog, or I've been playing a lot of pickleball recently. Like, I've become that kind of white that I'm fully aware of and, like, embracing it. I'm enjoying it. It's fun. So take us with you, whether you're out playing pickleball, out driving in the car, just hanging out, grilling, whatever you're doing. This Sunday afternoon, settle in because I'm going to be with you for the next 3 hours. I think I'm taking you up until Grant McCauley and From the Diamond is going to take over. And so Grant will have a lot of your baseball coverage and all of those things that'll probably be wrapping up at that point. The Braves game will be probably finished up at that point. However, for today's 3 hours, we'll get into some Braves talk. We're going to get into, because I'm looking at right now, the TV in the Kia Studios right now has the NBA playoffs right now. Knicks and Sixers, and wow, that has become a really fun series. But so we'll get into some Braves. We'll get into some NBA basketball, a few other things. Atlanta United, of course, playing last night. However, yes, I'm going to spend much of the next 3 hours talking about what you most likely want to talk about, want to hear about, have been just going through your mind, going through your head, trying to make sense of it all, enjoying it, not enjoying it, whatever you have done this weekend around the NFL draft. However you feel about the NFL draft, the Falcons draft selection specifically, is what we're going to get into over the course of this show. Now, I have the lucky privilege, I should say, of getting to talk about the Falcons draft after everyone has been picked. There's no, well, maybe they'll do this, and maybe they'll do this, and I wonder about this. No, the entire draft is there, available to me. I even did the fun thing of, like, let me put all the picks together just so I can have it in, like, a little consensus one sheet in front of me over the course of the day talking about it. But so it's been interesting as we've had little pieces. I've tried not to do too much listening to other hosts on this station, just specifically for the, you know, someone else's idea starts getting into your head and you kind of stick with it. So I wanted to, as much as I possibly can, give you my original thought, opinions on what has happened over the course of this weekend with the Atlanta Falcons draft. But first, I wanted to start from a specific thing that as I engage in social media, as you engage in social media, as we just live our lives, talking to friends, talking to family members, whoever it is, whenever we have these discussions at a point like this, the NFL draft, it's a time where your team is making selections that you don't have control over. You will oftentimes have opinions, have thoughts, directions that you want your team to go, directions that you don't want your team to go. I, funny enough, I'll own it because I'm going to talk about this over the next 3 hours. Wednesday night, I was doing an interview with Chris Thomas, and he asked me, we were talking Hawks, because of course, here at the station for 99 The Game, I cover the Atlanta Hawks, and so that is my beat. That's the thing that I am, you know, diving deep into, that I know a lot about. We were wrapping up, kind of finishing off the season, and Chris asked me a very pointed question of, hey, Caleb, what do you think the Falcons are going to do tomorrow? And I said, you know, Chris, I've had a lot of people ask me. I've had a lot of discussion about this. There's just there's one thing that the Falcons can't do tomorrow, Thursday, at that point. I said, look, whoever they pick, I'm going to get behind. Just the only thing they can't do is draft a quarterback. And I continued on my conversation. We enjoyed our pleasantries, went on our day, and I went on kind of laughing. And so whether you are into who the Falcons picked at 8, we're going to discuss it later in this show. Whether you are a fan of who they picked later on, round 2, round 3, round 4, round 6. No matter how you feel about all of this, your fandom is legitimate. I've seen over the last couple of days a lot of discussion over real fans and, well, if you're a real fan, you'll do this. And well, if you're a real fan, you'll feel this way. And guys, I got to be honest with you. Girls, I am sick of being told what it takes to be a real fan and what isn't a real fan. Oh, well, you know, Caleb, if you're a real fan, it doesn't matter who the Falcons pick. You're going to be behind it every way. Every step of the way. Caleb, it doesn't matter what the Falcons do during the regular season. You ought to be cheering for them. You ought to be there in your seat, rooting for the Atlanta Falcons. Rain, shine, doesn't matter. Good, bad. We're, you know, real fans. We're there for every single moment. We just agree with everything. And that's what, you know, all of you fake fans, you're out here questioning Terry, questioning Raheem, questioning the front office, questioning Arthur Blank. Oh, no, real fans don't do that. However, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to agree with your team's decisions to be a real fan. Like, fandom, being a fan of a team, this is all about entertainment, enjoyment, of a team, of a game. Not everyone is going to be on the same page about every single decision, and that's okay. I think the thing that's really kind of stuck in my craw recently is people telling me I can't have my opinion because I didn't play in the National Football League. I'm not a coach in the National Football League. I've never been in a front office in the National Football League. Hey, guess what? You know, the guys who do have all those positions, you know how often those guys get fired? Why do they get fired? Because they didn't know what they were doing. They made wrong decisions. Like, I'm not for a second going to tell you all that I am smarter when it comes to the game of football, when it comes to X's and O's, than a Raheem Morris, than anyone in the Falcons coaching staff, than Terry Fontenot. I'm willing to understand my lane. But we've somehow gotten to this area, and I know like a lot of players speak out about this a lot. When anyone disagrees with a decision made in a game or a decision made in the draft or in free agency or whatever it might be, it's all of a sudden, well, you didn't play the game and you've never been on that level. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who have made it to that level and haven't been successful. And as a Falcons fan, you out there listening, me, watching these teams year after year after year, we've picked up things that work. We've picked up things that don't work. Also, being a Falcons fan, we've had to witness some bad drafts in years past. You know, I was thinking, I was like, all right, when I talk about the Falcons draft and whether I agree with the decisions, I don't agree with the decisions. I mean, you just go within the last 10 years. Don't step it further back than that. Just go within the last 10 years. If you're a Falcons fan, you've watched this team, 2015, 8th overall pick, go Vic Beasley. Okay, felt good about it. Confident. This is a really talented pass rusher. Had a great 2016. But then we later found out, didn't like football. And we go through the mess of that departure. 2017, Tack McKinley, 26th overall in the first round. Didn't finish out his rookie contract. Publicly asked for a trade. Dealt with some really strange issues off the field that involved a hotel balcony. That whole thing was cut. 2018, Calvin Ridley. All right, feeling good about having another solid wide receiver in the house. Unfortunately, is dealing with mental health issues, has the whole gambling fiasco, was never a number one receiver, even when the Falcons got to a point where they needed him to be there. 2021, Kyle Pitts. I know there's a ton of you out there who are saying, Caleb, the best is yet to come. And okay, I hear you. I don't believe you, but I hear you. But this is just within the last 10 years of Falcons fans watching a first-round pick not turn into the player that was truly going to help their team reach the ultimate goal. There is a reason why Falcons fans have a legitimate concern to question decision-making. And I know, out of that list, the only one within this current regime is Pitts. And you think, well, I liked the Drake London pick, created a run on wide receiver, like the Bijan Robinson pick. He's been just an incredible lightning bolt of energy when he stepped into the league last year. So Caleb, this new regime, you know, they're figuring things out. They're getting it right. I hear you. But I think when we've gotten to a point where even under this quote-unquote new regime, we've already stepped into firing a coach, there is a reason for Falcons fans to feel a level of concern. And for anyone who is out there on the you just gotta go with what the team does, Caleb, you're not a real Falcons fan if you don't just go along with who they're picking because you've never been a GM. You've never been a head coach. You never played in the NFL. That was still true in years past. And we watched decisions in the past not work out. You know, the other thing, like, I'm not an accountant. I'll tell you. I'm not. I'm terrible with numbers. Outside of sports. I like stats. I like statistics. I did really well with that in high school and college. But as far as like really high level math, when it comes to like accounting and things like that, it's not my strength. You know what I still have to do every year? My taxes. So like, I may not understand all the ins and outs, but I have a general understanding of what I need to do as a citizen in the United States to make sure I don't end up owing a crap ton of money at the end of the end of tax season. I also drink a ton of coffee. You know, I've never grown a coffee bean. I've never done the whole, like, let me take it from tree. I was out in the Dominican Republic last year. I got to witness someone else do that. It was really cool, actually. I was like, oh, that's the tree right there. And then I'm sipping the coffee right here. Wow. I have stepped up and I have gone into the level of I now get whole coffee beans, and I've got the little grinder that I grind them up, brew it myself. You know, I feel a little fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, feel a little fancy. But I don't understand all the intricacies of growing and creating coffee. I still drink it. I still enjoy it. This is just to say, I want you all out there to understand you are a real Falcons fan. You are a real football fan, whether you agree with the front office or not, whether you played in college, in the NFL, or not, because most of us, it's the latter. I gave up my football days in middle school. I knew where my talent lies. And so when it comes to critiquing these decisions and having questions about it, throughout the next 2 hours and 40 minutes that we're going to carry these conversations, is just to remember we have a legitimate reason to feel the way we do, whether you're all in on the Falcons draft or you're not. That's all there is. All right, when we get back, we're going to get into the rest of the story, all the headlines of the day and of the weekend. There's a lot going on in the world of sports right now. We're going to get one to touch on it all. Coming up next, right here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Good, bad. It's going to be like a drama every week. It's going to be awesome.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. I'm Caleb Johnson, taking you up until 5 o'clock today. Now, coming up in less than 20 minutes from now, we're going to have Jarvis Davis, who's of Locked On Atlanta. He's going to come on and talk some Falcons draft with us because, of course, there's a lot to get into. There's a lot in the decisions of who was picked, who wasn't picked, positions that were selected, the positions that weren't selected. So all of those things. And, of course, I'm going to ask him about eight. I'm going to get his thoughts on eight as well. So I'm going to talk about it really in hour two. Hour two of the show is when I will personally dive into my thoughts on the selection and how it kind of changes what is happening with the Falcons. But for just a really good look at the draft as a whole, we'll talk to Jarvis Davis, who, of course, always does a great job, specifically, with all of it. But the lines of scrimmage, Jarvis is really great at diving into. So excited for that conversation coming up in about 17 minutes from now. But for now, let's get into the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. The rest of the story.
We will start our headlines of the day with the Atlanta Falcons draft on day three. Specifically, we'll stick with day three, where the Falcons began round four, pick 109. Going with Brandon Dorlus, defensive lineman out of Oregon. I think it felt a bit split decision-wise as far as how people, took this one. Just given the fact of, hey, this is a guy who, led Oregon in sacks. Really dominant pass rusher. However, coming after the third round, where you drafted Braylon Trice out of Washington, not only you're going rivals here in Washington and Oregon, but you're kind of, going with, another defensive lineman. Okay, clearly a position of need for this team, a position that they need not only just a star, but you need depth there as well. Is that just felt like, this is what you were doing in the draft. You're getting depth as well as quality pieces. That defensive line, something that needed some depth. And so Falcons going with Brandon Dorlus there in the fourth round. A bit surprising just because of you went defensive line in round three, but something you wanted to upgrade. And then round five, pick 143, J.D. Bertrand, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. I thought this one was pretty cool. Just for the local connection. And, of course, always it feels like Falcons fans want Georgia Tech players drafted and that sort of thing just because they're close to home. But it's also fun when you get a guy who went to high school and not only went to high school in Georgia, but won a couple of state titles with Blessed Trinity. So I found it interesting. Bertrand went from Blessed Trinity to Notre Dame. Very structured, the Catholic thing. And then coming into the Falcons when Raheem Morris, if you've seen the clip of him calling J.D. Bertrand, calls him Captain America, tells him to get his Captain America behind down to camp, thinking, look, I love just like Raheem's overall vibe and his energy that he brings. Talking to players, talking to media. We're going to get to find out over the next few years if Raheem is the guy who can turn this franchise around from a coaching perspective and bring some winning here. But the one thing that he did from day one is just bring a level of professionalism and a level of comfort that is hard to find, I think, in the NFL and unique to Raheem. It was why so many people were so positive about him when that decision was made. But it's just really funny to see those moments when, yeah, Raheem probably knows the cameras are on him, but he is being his natural self. And so Captain America is getting his behind up to Flowery Branch pretty soon. But J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, the linebacker, went in the fifth round. Sixth round here. This one, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't get it. Not the player, the position. Running back. Going Jace McClellan out of Alabama. Now, you'll say, Caleb, the Falcons need a third running back. I get you. I thought that might be something that was more of an undrafted player, more of a cheap free agent kind of pickup, that sort of thing, because that is definitely more of a depth piece, something that I didn't really think the Falcons were looking to draft someone for more of a development side of thing. But McClellan, look, I think he was really, really solid running back for Alabama last season, especially just given the fact that he had the ACL injury in 2022, comes back from that, leads Alabama with 890 yards and 8 touchdowns this past season, a big physical back. So I'm excited about bringing that depth in, but it was just interesting to see running back depth addressed. And maybe other depth, we'll figure it out. We'll piece it together. We'll hope. Do teams throw the ball in the NFL? Like, does that happen?
Occasionally,
that is a thing. So we have it, because I know that, you know, the trend of we're shifting back to running the ball a lot, but we still throw the ball. Okay, I'm just checking. I wondered from a cornerback perspective. I'm curious a little bit. Man, do I sound salty, Dom? Do I sound a little bit salty there?
But it's okay. It's fair.
Yeah, that's just one where addressing running back surprised me. I like the player. Just addressing it there. Huh, interesting. Sixth round for Jace McClellan, pick 186. This was part of the trade with Arizona. So when the Falcons wanted to move up from 43 to 35 to go get Rook Ororo. And, buddy, I'm going to have so much fun. I hope Rook has a great sense of humor. Because if not, dude must feel personally victimized every single day. Because the Ororo, like, it's coming. All the time, all day, every day, it's coming. I hope we're able to have fun with it. I hope Rook is a very talented player for the Atlanta Falcons for a long time, because if it doesn't work out, man, the jokes are going to be rough. But going to pick 186 with Jace McClellan, that was part of the trade to go up from 43 to 35. The Falcons created that run on defensive linemen, defensive tackles specifically there. In the second, so it was interesting to see how the Falcons used that pick that they got later in the sixth, where they gave up their other third round pick to get McClellan. Then 187th, where the Falcons already had that pick, they go wide receiver Casey Washington out of Illinois, which interesting again, going for size here, that a guy 6'2", 200 pounds. Casey Washington, when he steps in the door in Flowery Branch, is going to be tied for the second tallest wide receiver on the team at 6'2", with Drake London 6'4". So that's, you know, just one of those interesting things. Looks like a big physical receiver is what the Falcons were looking to address. And then it's not yearly, maybe biannual. I don't know how we put it at this point with the Falcons going after UGA players. But with that final pick in round six for the Falcons, pick 197, they go Zion Logue, the defensive lineman out of UGA. If that name doesn't jump off the screen to you, because I'll be honest, I was in Athens for every home game last season, covering games for us at 92.9, and Zion Logue didn't get his name called a lot. He wasn't a guy who spoke to media. So I really didn't get to learn much about him just from personality-wise. The thing that I do know about Zion Logue, the man is 6'6", 314 pounds. That's a hoss. That's a big boy right there. That is a big boy who is hopefully a guy that not only a steal, I'm not going to be the one to throw out, oh, he's a steal of the draft, but hopefully a guy that with his size is able to bring some continued depth to the defensive line for the Atlanta Falcons. The one thing you did not hear me say is, once again, cornerback. Cornerback, not a direction that the Falcons go in this year's draft. Surprised a lot of people. It's definitely something that I'm going to talk to Jarvis Davis about coming up in about 8-9 minutes from now. But just interesting the direction that the Falcons go in this draft, what they address, what they did not address, and so what they think they can do with the players they already have. And then, of course, you know, in free agency and signing undrafted free agents. I did not put the list together of undrafted free agents because I'll be honest with you, I started looking yesterday. There's a list. The Falcons have gone after a number of guys. Like, I saw one was a punter, and I was like, oh, okay, all right. And then I just, like, it could continue to grow. And it's not – here's the tough thing when it comes to undrafted free agents. It's not like the Falcons yet have just put a concise list out. It's all these, like, agents and reporters for local papers. Because this happened to me a few years ago. Dom, I don't know if you remember Chandon Sullivan – who plays in the league now.
Absolutely.
He was a guy that I was somewhat close to when he was at Georgia State, a guy that I had covered being a reporter at Georgia State. And so when he was making his decision, I was communicating with, I was texting back and forth with him about where he was going to go. He had a couple of options that he was looking at when he ultimately decided the Eagles. I got to tweet out Chandon Sullivan, Georgia State defensive back, is signing as an undrafted free agent to the Eagles. Awesome. You know what I had all in my mentions that day? Who are you? How do you know? Who's right. your source?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Chandon is. Like, yeah. You know,
you just got to at him.
Yeah, source. Exactly. But it's tough. So like, trying to pick together all of the undrafted free agents is really kind of a tough thing to do just because you don't know what's legitimate, what's not. Everyone's out here trying to troll somebody. And so once the Falcons put together a concise list, I'm sure someone other than me will be going through letting you know who the Falcons signed. And I'll be curious to see how many of those guys are cornerbacks, just because I think that's a position of need. And I'm curious to see how the Falcons go about addressing that. Look, there's a bunch more headlines that we did not get into. The Braves currently playing right now. We'll get into that later in the show. However, coming up next, Jarvis Davis, executive producer and host of Locked On Sports, going to talk to us about this Falcons draft, the names that I listed, and the two that I did not. Round one, Michael Penix Jr. Round two, Rook Arororo. How does Jarvis feel about the draft, and what does he make of who was selected and who was not? It's coming up next right here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Weekend sports talk fix here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
My ears are bleeding.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 5 o'clock today. Currently, the Braves are in the bottom of the fourth. It is the Guardians. Oop, almost did it. It's the Guardians who are up 1-0. This has been a weird series just because whenever you see Cleveland on the schedule when it comes to baseball, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, that you got to like your chances. And then you start seeing how really good the Guardians have been this season. And it is one of those, like, I'm very much excited for Grant McCauley to come in later on. He's going to take over at 5 o'clock because I want to ask Grant of, like, why is Cleveland so good? You start looking at their numbers, it doesn't really – nothing stands out alarmingly well. It's just been a real surprise, at least for me. I don't know how baseball pundits are looking at this, but the Guardians get game two from the Braves last night and are in the rubber match today, up 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. However, with the last segment, first two segments, is going to be a lot more in hours two and three. We're talking NFL draft, Falcons draft, and of course, want to do that with our buddy Jarvis Davis, who is executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Jarvis, how you doing, man?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
I am doing okay. I feel like this has been I've been waiting for this opportunity for these 3 hours. I expect it to be a bit cathartic as I get to go through my feelings of not only the first pick, but just the draft overall. And so that's why, you know, Jarvis, I wanted to bring you in. I know you're a guy who's spent a lot of time covering this Falcons team, a lot of time, you know, looking at the lines of scrimmage. Specifically, I always love how you evaluate those lines of scrimmage. However, Jarvis, we've got to begin with the thing that most listeners out there, I'm sure, are still talking about, still trying to figure out, and that is the eighth overall pick. Look, you've had a couple days to think it over now, Jarvis. After hearing from Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, thinking about why the Falcons went eighth overall, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, do you like the pick, and do you feel like you understand the decision?
All right, so I'm glad you put it that way. So when you think about, like, the player, now let me start off by saying this. I like the player,
okay.
Right? I even put out a mock draft, maybe about a week or so before the draft came out. I put out my mock draft, you know, on Twitter, and I had Michael Penix in the second round, you know, because of, you know, the mock simulator that I was using, and he kept following to me. I was just like, you know what, that wouldn't be a bad pick.
Yeah.
Right? Because
okay.
You're talking about from a value standpoint.
Sure.
Like I said, I like the player. I like what I've seen him in college, and I like his story. I feel like he'd be a good face of the franchise type guy, you know, down the road. But when you're talking about him, we got the rumors that they would really, really like him. I was like, okay, I thought that was, you know, a little smoke. You know how people blow a lot
sure.
of smoke before coming up, leading up to the draft. I'm like, okay, that's what that is. That's trying to entice somebody to kind of trade up and, you know, get a little nervous and try to come up and get their guy. Get it, right? That makes sense. But, oh, my gosh, when that doggo pick rolled out, I was at my house. I was sitting there watching it in my basement. My wife literally heard my reaction, and she was on the top floor with my kids put in the bed. You know, and when you think about that, man, it's a very expensive quarterback plan, right? Like, because you thought that they got their guy, and we got our guy. We got Kirk Cousins. They wanted elite processors. And, you know, Raheem Morris even said they wanted elite processors. But I didn't know he wanted two of them. Was that the plan? You know, so it just seems like like Terry and Raheem, and I even had a theory that, you know, this isn't a big some job security for Terry. Because think about this. We saw Thomas Dimitroff stick around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can – I think we could probably agree that, you know, he should have lost his job right along with Mike Smith. And there should have been a new general manager and new coach when Dan Quinn was hired. But he drafted two. When you draft a face of the franchise, man, you get the benefit of doubt. You're going to get that loyalty that Arthur Blank loves to pass out. So I feel like, man, this, part of this is maybe saying, you know what? I got my short-term plan in place, and I got my long-term plan in place. That's when it started to kind of come together for me, just from overall, not liking the pick, but liking the player. But I'm like, okay, you know what? I can kind of see where you're coming from on that one.
All right, Jarvis. With the decision, what we have heard from Raheem Morris, from Terry Fontenot about this, is this planning for the future. Now, I know a lot of Falcons fans who can easily go to Pro Football Reference, look at the record the last few years, and go, why are we not focused on now? Why are we focused on the future? Do you feel like, and then I've seen kind of a split between, hey, there is not a player that is going to be the difference maker between you know, being in the Super Bowl this year or just being, you know, a contender, a playoff team, that sort of thing. Do you feel like there was a guy there at eight that could have been a potential difference between wins and losses?
To be honest with you, I mean, I feel like there was a piece there. Like, I lay out to lie to. I was kind of more on that bandwagon more so than Dallas Turner. I feel like Dallas Turner could eventually be that type of guy with the right, you know, teaching, you know, and or development. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like Leilatu was going to be the guy that come in and probably can be a seven or eight sack guy because he's the type of guy that I always joke, you know, with a lot of people that I talk to him about. Like, he was bringing his Louis bags on third and long. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about that, like, he has a good repertoire of what he can bring to the third down. So, yeah, I feel like that's a guy for as far as a piece, being a piece to kind of add to your defense to help elevate it to potentially being a contender. But am I saying that he was going to come in and be the guy, say, you know what, this is an Aaron Donald type guy? And think about this, too. People weren't even really saying that about Aaron Donald. They were just talking about the questions of size or anything like that. He eventually became a Hall of Famer that he should have been. Like, as soon as he doggone had that press conference to say he was going to retire, this dude should have been going directly into the Hall of Fame because that's just how great he was when he was on the field. So I feel like there's people who are upset about the whole, we're trying to win now, 3 years straight years of 7-10. I get it, picking in the top 10 and all that stuff. I get it. So the plan for now is Kirk Cousins, right? And then we know the plan for the future, which general managers have to think about that too. They have to think about the now and the future. I feel like the coach has to think about the now more so because those guys, man, get hired and fired within a year. We've seen, you know, what that happened in Carolina, right up the road. So I think that Terry Fontenot was doing what he was supposed to do. I just think the way he went about it, it's hard for people to get on board with it.
I'm glad, Jarvis, I'm glad you mentioned Latu because that's a guy that this front office and Raheem, like, they mentioned. So I found it very interesting of we first had the report from Steve Wyche of, hey, the Falcons were very much interested in trading back into the first round to go get Latu. And then I think it was, Brett Jukes, who was like aggressively. So they were aggressively trying to trade back into the first round. Then we got it from them themselves of, you know, this kind of like, we tried. We you know, did everything we could. Having that story come out, do you feel for the fan base that softens the blow of like, well, they tried, or does that make it even worse for fans who are like, wait, you mean we could have had Latu and you couldn't get it done?
Yeah, man, that's like we don't. Like, we don't want to hear about failed plans, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would prefer you lie to me a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking the same, Jarvis.
You know, in relationships sometimes, you know, your wife or your significant other is going to lie to you from every now and then.
Does this look good on me? Yep.
Feelings. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to tell my wife, oh, you look fat in that dress. No, I will never do that. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, I might ease, soften the blow a little bit, but I'm not going to reveal how I really feel about it. If I don't think it looked good on her, I'm not going to tell her that because she's my wife. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to sleep in my bed at night. So for the Falcons to kind of, for it to get leaked, you know, Steve Wyche, we know how tapped in he is into this
organization.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm not surprised at all by it coming out that way. But for them to come out and say it themselves and people who work for the organization to say it, I just find it kind of interesting. It's very interesting that they came out because I wouldn't want failed plans to come out. I wouldn't want that to be out there like that.
It's a lot of goodwill that they are thinking Falcons fans are going to be giving to them. And that wasn't the direction that I probably would have taken it. It's just one of those, you know, a wife and a fan base, I feel like there's some similarities there. Like, you want them to stick around. You want them to not leave you kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, you want to choose your words carefully. All right, talking with Jarvis Davis, executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jarvis, let's get into some of the other decisions of the weekend. Clemson defensive tackle Ruka Roro with the 35th pick. I was seen by analysts as, you know, potentially a reach, given the trade up from 43. How do you view Rook individually as a player? And then how do you think he stacks up based on the other players that were selected pretty much all in a row right behind him?
To be honest, from a player standpoint, he's a guy that I feel like that has some potential. There's some potential there. You see flashes, right? You see him working his hands, and which I love. I love defensive linemen that work their hands. Defensive linemen that come off the ball and bull rush all the time, those guys you need to stay away from because that, like, everybody's strong in the NFL, so
yeah,
you're not going to overpower guys like on a consistent basis like that. So I think that he's a guy, he likes to work his hands from time to time. I would like him to be a little bit more stout in the game against the run. He can get he can be a little easy to block, right? You know, as far as when it comes to recognizing blocks, when how the offensive linemen are attacking me, he can be a little slow to react. So I feel like he can get caught up in blocks like that pretty quickly. But as far as the situation, like, I'm glad that you mentioned the guys that came off the board not too long after him. Guys like Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle out of Florida State, man, I loved him. The Senior Bowl, from the Senior Bowl all the way up to the Combine, like, the dude just absolutely ripped it, man, once the season was over with. And you would think that, you know, that would be a type of guy that you want to bring in. Now, the idea of them bringing in a defensive tackle slash defensive end because, you know, he got a little length on him, you know, 6'3", 6'4", you know, like, those are the type of guys that can kind of go back and forth between being a D-tackle and defensive end, right? So I think overall it's just a name that I don't know if I would have gone that route, you know, especially trading up for him because you gave up that extra third-round pick that you get mm-hmm. to kind of get up there to make that jump. So, I mean, the one thing that I can appreciate about the Falcons, even though I kind of disagree with the names that they bring in, when those dudes are convicted, they go for it. And you know what? I can't knock it, but it better work.
All right, Jarvis, the other part of this is obviously what comes after Aurora Rowe. Were you surprised the Falcons went both Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus to address that defensive line rather than, you know, one or the other and, you know, potentially going, hey, I don't know, cornerback?
To be honest with you, like, I mean, I know, you know, hindsight 2020. Like, if you would have kept the extra third and stayed where you were and took best player available right there and got you a defensive tackle, that's the route you wanted to go, you could have selected a cornerback with that second, third-round pick, but you used it. But I had no issues whatsoever with them going edge defensive tackle. Like, because they need – I've talked about on the Atlanta Football Party on Locked On Sports Atlanta on our podcast. I said that they needed an injection of youth on this defensive line, mm-hmm. specifically in the interior, because when you have guys like David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett, those guys are still productive, but they're on the plus side of 30. Like, you need to inject some youth on the interior of this defensive line. So I feel like I like the idea of doubling down because it's here's the thing, you know, if you hit on multiple guys, that's okay. That's not something you need to worry. Like, oh man, 3 years from now, we're going to have to pay both of these guys. Who cares?
That's a good problem to have.
It's an excellent problem to have, especially when a team that has been so inept at getting to the quarterback and been last in the league over the past few years and sacking the quarterback. So if these guys work out, man, we're going to be having a party on Mercedes-Benz on third and long. When it's third and long, we're like, oh man, who's gonna get to the quarterback this time? That's what I want to be like on Sundays, right? So I like the idea of it. I don't necessarily agree with the names, but, you know, who am I? You know, I can only go off of what I see. So, you know, obviously the Falcons organization are very convicted about those guys. So we'll see if it works out.
Final one for you, Jarvis, is just bigger surprise: the fact that the Falcons go running back with Jason McClellan, or that out of all the UGA players available, they end up drafting Zion Logue?
Wow, that's a great question. I feel like, you know, it's interesting that, you know, a lot of times, because I feel like this, you go back to when they brought in Justin Saber, who's no longer on this team. You know, mm-hmm. you think about that aspect of, oh yeah, drafting, get some Georgia guys in here, like the lesser of the guys, right?
John Fitzpatrick,
you know, John Fitzpatrick and all that stuff. It was like, all right, man, even going all the way back to Akeem Dent, remember that name?
Yeah.
You know, and they overdrafted him, and he didn't stick around for too long. So I really feel like it's definitely interesting that they draft Zion Lowe, but to be honest with you, he's a guy that can play that nose for you in your base defense. And to be honest with you, you don't really need to spend a high draft pick on that guy because you're not going to be in base formation too long anyway. So, hey, if it works out, you know, you got your guy who can play that nose for you in a base defense. So, you know, I feel like – but the running back, though, that's – Yeah, that was very interesting. I was like, man, is he
going to
make the team?
That's a great question.
Very hard for him to make the team. So, but, yeah, he got a lot of things stacked against him because their running back room is pretty doggone solid with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson. But, yeah, Zion Lowe is going to be very interesting. He has an opportunity, I can tell you that for sure.
That is Jarvis Davis, executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Give Jarvis a follow on Twitter at JarvisD90. Jarvis, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday afternoon.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, when we get back, look, we started this segment talking to Jarvis about what the Falcons did at pick number 8. I haven't been able to specifically get into it, but I'm attacking it from this perspective. The Falcons told on themselves with that pick number 8. I'm going to tell you how I know. It's coming up next right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.